tonight I invite your attention to Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. We're going to take a look at the birth of Isaac. Take a look at the birth of Isaac, and we're going to talk about God's promises. Specifically, how God fulfills His promises. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1. We're going to read the first 7 verses of this chapter. And if you would, please stand as we reverence the Word of God. And the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Clay Simpson, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Kind of continuing our look at the heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. And tonight, you know, it's about Isaac, but it's focused too on the God of Abraham and Isaac. And specifically, how faithful that God is in the life of His children. And we see here in chapter 21, it wasn't just the birth of a son for Abraham. This was the birth of a nation, a great nation. This was the beginning of Israel, okay? And had it not been for this event, there would be no Israel today. This is where it basically started. And the first thing I want to call your attention to is how that God is a God of guarantee, even when nothing happens. I want you to think about that statement for just a minute. God is a God of guarantee even when nothing happens. You see, 25 years before, and I know we've covered Abraham for about 3 weeks now, but we're going to cover him just a little bit more. 25 years before this event, God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and God said, I will make of you a great nation. And since that time, Abraham has left his homeland and traveled to the land that God was going to show him. And you know what happened? Nothing. Then, after he arrived at that land that God showed him, a great famine came. And when the great famine came, Abraham was forced to leave and go to Egypt to find food. And you know what happened in Egypt? Nothing. As far as the promise of God, that is. Okay? After Egypt, he comes back into the land that God had promised him to, and showed him. He returns from Egypt, and when he comes back, he and his nephew had grown to the point of riches that no longer could they live together. And so Lot, his nephew, and Abraham wound up splitting company. And you know what happened? As far as the promise of God, nothing. Lot, after he left Abraham, is taken captive by enemies, and Abraham gathers his men, and he goes and he gets his nephew Lot back and comes back. You know what happened? Nothing. Ah, but here something happened. After that, Abraham takes matters into his own hand. Sarah gives him her handmaid, Hagar, and he has a child by Hagar. The child Ishmael. If nothing's going to happen, what do we usually do? We're going to make it happen. We're going to do something even if it's wrong. But you know what? As far as God's concerned, nothing's happened. After that, of course, trouble in the family with Hagar and Sarah, and things blow up. But through it all, you know what's happened? They've just grown old. I mean, it's been 25 years, and now Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old. And nothing happened until finally we get to this point. And God has done what He said He would do. It took 25 years. And there in verse 2, it says, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. You know, our clock is often different than God's clock. But one thing you can take to the bank, if God said it, He's going to do it. And what we need to learn how to do is to deal with delay. The most difficult thing as a child of God is knowing the direction God's going and having to wait to get there. I remember, and I've shared with you how that when I was dealing with a call to preach, and for years I wouldn't submit, and then I finally said, okay, I'll preach, but I'll not pastor churches because I don't want to be a pastor, and I went through that for some years, and I finally said, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And you know, after that, I was ready to pastor. I mean, after I truly surrendered and said, God, wherever you lead, that's where I want to go. If you want me to pastor, that's when I want to pastor. And, you know, after that, there was an immediate desire in my heart to pastor. But you know what happened? Nobody called. Nobody called. And I couldn't get it. I was so fired up. I'm ready to pastor your churches now, Lord. You've dealt with me for so long. What's the deal? And it took me so long, it took a while for me to realize I'm on God's time clock, You don't know how He's going to do things. You don't even know when He's going to do things. All you know is that God has a direction and God has spoken. And what we have to learn is to wait on God, to be patient. Have you ever noticed that God never used terms like, I'm not lying, when He'd say something? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever had somebody tell you, well, now let me just be honest with you. Why do we do that? Because we tend not to be honest, right? Why do we tell people, I'm going to tell you the truth? Because sometimes we don't. But God never uses statements like that. As a matter of fact, God never even says, I promise. The word promise is used 54 times in the Bible. And when it's referred to, when it goes back to referring to something that God said, like promises of God, the word promise literally means that God just spoke. It means a statement. Do you realize that when God speaks, you can take that to the bank? He is the God of promise simply because He speaks, and it will become so. We have to learn to be patient, and also we have to learn to trust Him. Paul knew that God was the God of deliverance. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, Paul didn't live for this life alone. He knew that God was preparing a place for him eternal in the heavens. He knew that God was going to reward him. Do you ever get to that point where you think, I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I serve like I serve. I'll tell you why you serve like you serve. Because God has promised He will make it worth your while. He's the God of reward, Ephesians 6:8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Do you realize God will make it worth your while? Do you realize that when you're threatened, do you ever feel threatened? You don't know what's going to happen next, and things are a little uncertain. I love Psalms 34:7. You know what that says? The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear Him and delivereth them. Next time you get that feeling, I don't know what's going to happen next and things are out of control, you just rest in the fact that if you are indeed a child of God, that God has placed you under the care of His angels. You're never alone. You're never at the mercy of Satan. You're never at the mercy of this world. Why? Because God's looking out for you as His child. He's the God of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse 21, one of my favorite scriptures. You hear me use it about every time I preach. But it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that cool? I mean, really, isn't that great? When God speaks it, it's done. He's the God that answers prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Ask, and it shall be given. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall knock, and the door will be opened unto you. See, that's the Word of God. That's things that God has said to us. Have you ever prayed and thought, nobody's listening? Listen, that's your problem, not God's. He's promised. He's listening. You know? He's promised that He'll answer our prayers. And you know what else? He's coming again. Okay? And I know sometimes I think we lose sight of that. We sang a while ago, the King is coming. I love that song because it reminds me that this is not all there is. This life is not all there is. And you know, our president, we can agree, disagree. Our country can be going down paths that we're just directly opposed to. But one thing is for certain. Jesus Christ is coming again. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Beloved, we have the promise of God. It's gonna get better. It's gonna get better. We just have to realize the God that we're dealing with. God doesn't promise it'll always be easy. God doesn't promise that He'll lay the world at our feet. But I'll tell you what, He did promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Second thing I want you to consider. I want you to consider dealing with doubt. You know why they called Him Isaac? The name Isaac means laughter. That had to be a real confidence booster that when you were born, your parents named you Laughter. Don't you think? You know why they named him Laughter? It's because this promised son, Isaac, was surrounded by doubt. Doubt, such doubt that it was comical to even think that this young man would be born. I mean, and his life is filled with laughter. Ishmael, his brother, laughed at him. In verse 9 of this same chapter, it says he was mocking him and scoffing him. That word scoffing or mocking is a derivative of the word laughter. Has anybody ever pointed and laughed at you? Look at him, look at him. You say, he was laughed at by his enemy, his own brother. He was laughed about by his own father, Abraham. Genesis 17:17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed when God said, okay, Abraham, it's time. Abraham fell on his face in laughter. Now, I'm not sure how to translate that or determine if he was just laughing so hard he fell. Or if he was trying to be respectful and fell down on his face and he's, you know, trying to hide his laughter. But one thing we know, that this idea that he could have a son at 100 years old was just comical. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. And Sarah, his mother, laughed. She laughed, it says in chapter 18, verse 12, she laughed within herself. That's why when the messenger questioned her about it, he asked her, why did you laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And she was being truthful. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed inside. Okay? It's funny how God knows what's going on inside, isn't it? You know, you may hide your emotions from everybody else, and you may hide what you think from everybody else, but God knows what's going on inside. And Sarah was no exception. She was battling doubt in herself. And she wanted to believe, but that's just, I mean, this, the birth of this boy is just so absolutely outrageous. She's 90 years old. She's well past childbearing years. But you know what's funny? What's funny is when the angel said, when they appeared and said, okay, now it's time. You're going to have this son. She laughed in doubt. But in verse 6, she laughs with joy. God has made me laugh. It's used in a different context. God has proven Himself to me. God has kept His promise. God has shown me that He'll do what He indeed says He will do. You know, it's often hard to believe. You know? I mean, there are challenges. For example, salvation. We say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, we don't say that. The Bible says that. But you know, there are people who just, there's got to be more to it than that, they'll say. I think you've got to be a good person, or there just can't be, it can't be that simple. It has to be that simple. Otherwise, we couldn't do it, right? You know? However, sometimes that's hard for people to swallow. And even those of us who know that it's correct and that it's biblical often come to the point of doubt, thinking, what have I not done? What have I not done? Did I really mean it? Did I, you know, and we come up with all these doubts. Time and time again, I've counseled with people who come to me and they would ask, I just wasn't sure if I meant it. And when the real problem was, the doubt was doubting what the Lord said. See, God said, whosoever shall call. And the fact of the matter, God, when God states something, it is so ironclad that it cannot be undone. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ever doubt your salvation, if you can go back to that point where you called upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have it on the authority of the Word of God that you are His child. Okay? You don't have to doubt. He's the God of salvation. He's the God of provision. My goodness, He's faithful. Always providing. I love the 23rd Psalm, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Always there. But yet, how many times do we get in those challenges of life where I don't know how I'm going to make it through? Been there and done that. How about you? But how many times has God ever abandoned you and let you down? I can answer that for you. Zero. Zero. Why? Because He's the God that keeps His Word. He's the God of security. Isn't it great that what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't lose? Okay? Isn't it great? Not only can you not work for it, you can't work to keep it. Your keeping that salvation is not based on what you do. If it were, every one of us would be as lost as a goose. You know? It's based on God's ability to keep. And you know, when we say that we have eternal life, when the Bible talks about you having eternal life, if you could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal, number one. All right? It would be temporary. And secondly, Jesus said that no man plucks them out of my Father's hand. And when you get a statement of fact like that from God, there's nothing that can change that statement. Why? Because He is the God of guarantee. Then finally, I like Abraham and Sarah's compliance to God's covenant. When Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham had him crucified, or circumcised. Same thing, right? When Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham had that young man circumcised. And you know why? Because that was a physical sign of a spiritual covenant between Abraham and God. And the descendants of Abraham and God. And that reminds me what a special time this was at this point in the life of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. I mean, they had been waiting for so long for the promise, waiting for so long to have that son that God said they're going to have. And now they've got that son. And there's a decision to be made. What are we going to do from here on? And I want to call your attention to the fact that the promise was not through here when this young man was born. That the promise was actually only beginning to be fulfilled. You know? And the reason that I bring that up is so often we get on our knees and we call out to God, God provide, God give me what I need, God help me through this mess. And when God provides, we get what we want. Oftentimes, what do? We forget. We forget. No longer are we in trouble, we don't worry about the God that delivered us. No longer are we in need, we don't worry about the God that provided. Listen. We are a covenant people. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our God is not a God that you take off the shelf from time to time when you need Him. He's a God that you walk with every day of your life. And just because God answers a prayer today, that does not mean that you put Him away until you get in trouble again. That just means that you continue to serve Him and continue to follow His direction in your life. I look at this and I think, wow. This was the beginning of greatness. And I think, how many times in my life have I been at that point where God answers my prayer when it could have been the beginning of great things, provided I had been faithful every step of the way after that? And I think, wow, I blew it. Ask you the question. Everything I've preached here tonight, I don't think there's any argument. God is faithful. God does provide. God, when God says it, it's a done deal. My question to us is, where do we stand with this great God that we serve? Are we faithful covenant keepers? You know, our covenant was not complete when we called upon Jesus as our Savior. Our covenant was not complete when we were baptized. Our covenant is a lifetime commitment that's supposed to follow us every day that we live. Are you a covenant person? Or do you live like a covenant person? God is the God of guarantees. And my friends, He is worthy of our faithfulness every step of this life that we live. One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming again. Okay? One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming again. And when that day comes, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in this flesh, whether they be good or whether they be bad. A great God is worthy of great commitment. May you and I present ourselves every day as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Why? Because that is our reasonable service. Let us be faithful.
whether we're in time of need or whether God has opened the windows of heaven and blessed us, let us be faithful every day because of the great God which we serve. Are you a child of that great God? If not, this invitation is for you. We invite you to come. Come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and there's another need. God has poured out His blessings on you and you've not been so faithful. Maybe it's a time of rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is this evening, I would invite you to listen to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to your heart. And just do what God leads you to do. Whether it's come to this altar, whether it's rededicate your life, whether it's for salvation, will you respond to God's invitation? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your faithfulness. You are the God of guarantee. And we thank you that when you speak, it's done. And Lord, we trust you in all things. And now as we come to this invitation, you know the need of every heart and every life. And I just pray that needs will be answered in this service tonight. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.